have you in service, my brother. Good to be with you. Would you like to say anything to the church, my brother?
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
That's right. That's right, brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Right. Yes. Yes. Amen. I believe it, brother. I believe it. How many believe that today? We are going to be victorious. God has made us to be conquerors. He has not made us to be defeated. I wonder sometimes why Christians go around with a defeatist attitude. We go around as if we're whooped. We're not going to make it. This world's too hard. I just can't go on. I don't have the strength. And every time I hear this, I think, well, who are you looking at? Who are you focusing on? Me, 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 all the time. When we need to be looking at the author and the finisher of our salvation. When we need to be looking at Jesus, who is our strength and our might. When we need to be looking to the one who has conquered death. And has risen from the grave. Hallelujah. And is now seated at the right hand of our Father in heaven. What a glorious God we serve today, church. Amen. And I hope with God's help this day that He will enable me to preach and to bring to you what I feel God has instructed me to do. And I pray that you would have a little patience with me this morning. Because God has placed something upon my heart that is truly, I want to get out. And sometimes I have a hard time expressing things. And I just pray for the unction of the Holy Ghost this morning to help me. I can't do it myself. I'm just a man. I want the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And I want you to pray for me that God would help me minister His Word. As I told my Sunday school class this morning, I can't do anything in my own strength, just as Moses was upon the mountain and Aaron and Hur lifted up his hands. They defeated Amalek. But when the hands came down, Amalek prevailed. When Aaron and Hur lifted them up, Israel prevailed. God's people prevailed. Hands come down, the enemy prevailed. What are you saying, Brother Cottle? I'm saying without your prayers, I can do nothing. Without the lifting up of my hands, I can do nothing. I need your prayers. I need your hands to help me pray. I need your hands. Amen. Every preacher that gets behind here needs his hands lifted up, church. And I pray. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? I need strength this morning. You know me, God. You know my frame. You know me and all about. And I pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would fall this morning, God. As I want to present the Word of God as you have instructed me to do, I want and pray that it would go forth with power and unction of the Holy Ghost. That God, men and women would be instructed in righteousness and in truth. That those, oh God, would be lifted up who are downcast today. That those would be free who are in bondage today. That those, oh Lord, would be healed who are sick today. Hallelujah. And God, I can do nothing in my own strength this morning. I need you. I need you. I need you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be with me this morning, dear God. Be with my tongue. Be with my words, O Lord. Hallelujah. Let the instruction of the Holy Ghost fill me and strengthen me and encourage me this morning. God, that the Word of God would be preached, that men would hear the truth in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Hallelujah. I call it a love letter from Paul. Oh, I don't know how many times I have read this little epistle, this book to the Philippian church, the Philippian believers, and how many times I have gotten encouragement. And you read through it and you think, well, I've read through that book. I don't have to read through it again. But I tend to be drawn back to it. Because how God has shown His love through this man. And this man shows his love to this church. Hallelujah. I want you to see, he says in chapter 1, verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Hallelujah. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long for you and all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Go to verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Would you pray one more time? Heavenly Father, touch us this morning, God. We ask it in your wonderful name today, Jesus. In your wonderful name, God. Amen. You may be seated. Church, we're living in times that are desperate. We're living in times where the world around us hates us, deplores anything that is Christian. If it could, it would do away with Christianity altogether. We fight continuously against our adversary. Not so much maybe in flesh and blood, but we fight, as the Bible says, against principalities and powers, against wickedness in high places, against the strongholds that are out there in the world. And there are plenty of them. Jesus says, I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. Sometimes don't you feel like that little lamb out there? You feel like the wolves are just about ready to pounce on you and tear you to pieces. Sometimes I go out in this world and I feel like I'm just a little lamb, that I have no defense against these wolves. But praise God, I know someone who does. His name is Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith today. The one in whom this Apostle Paul is ministering to the Philippian church and telling them and being thankful for what God has done in their lives, and how they are committed to Jesus Christ, and how the Word is being evident in their lives. And he's encouraging them, though they are going to go through difficulties. And in this world, we are all going to go through difficulties. We can't get away from that. It's part of being in Christ. You remember Jesus says, listen, the world hates me, it's also going to hate you. The world did not love me, it will not love you either. So we've got to arm ourselves and understand that we are in conflict with this world. The men and women today who go to church and say they still love the world, they do not love God. We must love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The love of this world has nothing for us. We've got to get this ingrained in us somehow. And I pray, Holy Spirit, today you would help me to show this in your word. We have got to be men and women who are going to do away with everything that the world has for us. But you hear people say, ah, but I like what's in the world. I like the things of the world. We cannot love the world and love God. I'll say it just plainly as I can. You cannot love this world and love God too. Because everything this world does and its philosophies is against our God. And our God is against this world.
Amen.
So you got to choose sides. If there's one thing I can't stand, it's a hypocrite. There's one thing I can't stand is someone say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Hey, yeah, I'm living any way I want to live. Uh-huh. No, you cannot do that.
No, that's right, Mom.
You've got to live the way God wants you to live. Shoo, hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. When I begin to read in this, you can see that first and foremost, this is his purpose. He purposes to live in Christ. Some of us, so many of us, we don't even make a purpose in our life. We live haphazardly. We live from day to day. We just go on and do what we think's right in God and hope for the best, you know. It's like, oh well, maybe I'll make it today, maybe I won't. But Paul had a purpose. We've got to purpose our lives as Paul did. For me to live is Christ. Everything else is dead to me. Christ is alive. He's the only one. Oh my, if we could see Him high and lifted up, if we could see how He is ever before our face and at our right hand, that we shall not be moved. If we ever have that glimpse of Him, knowing He's holding my hand and He's ever before me, I will live in Christ. We don't need to be holding to Christ and trying to hold to this world. They fight. You'll fight and struggle all your life. Every time your being will want to do the things of the old man because you hold on to the old past, the old world. The Bible says I'm a new creature in Christ. I may have been made new. The old man is dead. And the new man is alive in Christ. But so many Christians want to pull up the old man and buddy up with him again and walk as if we're Christian. Oh, we can't do that. The old man must stay crucified. Hallelujah. With the affections and the lust of the world. And we must put our mind upon Christ. Hallelujah. When all purity and all righteousness and all holiness is there. Yeah. Oh, the Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans. I beseech you by the mercies of God. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Not every sacrifice is holy and acceptable to God. Think about that, church. When we come before Him, we must bring a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable before God. In the Old Testament, when they brought the lambs and they brought their goats and everything that they were going to offer and sacrifice to the Lord, they had to offer them without blemish and without spot. They couldn't offer a lame one with a broken leg, though some tried. They didn't want to give their choice best to God. They give their worst to God. And think that they're still serving God. A lot of Christians are that way. We think we're giving our best to God, and we're giving Him broken sacrifices. Woo! Y'all still love me, right? Come on, stay with me. Stay with me here. I want you to see that for Paul, for me to live is Christ. He had a purpose. We must purpose our lives to live for Christ, and to die would be gain. If we died, we'd be in the presence of the Lord. We must live for Him. Yes. Our lives must be given to Christ. He says that. Interesting. What is your purpose this morning? Where is your purpose? He also said, if you'll turn over to me in chapter 2, He said in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Yes. Let this mind be in you. That was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what is he saying? I'm supposed to think like Christ. I am supposed to put into my mind the things that Christ would have in his mind. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I know my Christ isn't going to have anything ungodly in his mind. Oh, praise God. I know my Christ isn't going to have think upon things that are ungodly. Uh-uh. He's going to think upon things that are good and lovely and just and have good report. He's going to dwell upon these things. Have the mind of Christ. We must have the pattern that God wants. And Christ wants His pattern that your mind be like His. Oh, hallelujah. Well, you're never going to know how Jesus thinks until you read about Jesus. People want to be Christian and walk around and do what they want to do, but they don't know a thing about God. They don't know a thing about the Word of God. They don't know how Jesus responds in situations. They don't know how Jesus talks to men. They don't know how Jesus talks to religious rulers. Come on. Because they don't read. They don't know Him. And so they use their own understanding to fill in the gaps. Whoa. Then we've got problems. We view God in the way we want to view Him. Come on. We tend to revert back to the old nature. Come on. And we think upon things that we shouldn't think upon. We need to fill our minds with the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. Are you saying, Brother Cottle, that I'll never think about things that come to my mind that shouldn't be there, that, you know, something's wrong with me? No. Listen, I understand the devil comes and attacks us. I understand that we fight against principalities and powers and wickedness. I understand that we're onslaughted day in and day out. But what I'm saying is, if the thought comes to your mind, what do you do about it? Do you dwell upon it? Do you think about, I kind of like that boy over there. I kind of like that girl over there. You know, you start thinking of, are these is what's filling your mind? When the devil comes and begins to say, hey, you need to just come on over here and do this and do that. And you need to do what this person's doing over here. You need to join the club. You know, you're kind of an outcast person. You need to join in with the group.
Come on.
What do you think about? He says, let this mind be in you. That's the pattern that we must follow. The purpose that I shared with you earlier, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, and the pattern He gives us is to let the mind be in you, which was in Christ.
Yeah.
Woo! If you're going to live for Him and die for Him, you better pattern your life after Him.
Amen.
You better live according to how He wants you to live. Oh, praise God. Amen. Come on now, you with me? Praise God. He said also, in chapter 3, turn over there with me. I'm just going a little bit quickly here through this because I want you to see this. The apostle had no confidence at all in the flesh. We must not have confidence in the flesh. Notice what he says. Finally, verse 1, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed it's not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. You know, y'all should be saying amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Woo! If you have confidence in anything else but Jesus Christ, you're in the flesh. Come on now. Listen what he says. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now he's telling these people, listen, if any other man thinketh that whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, he's saying, Brother Steve, you think you got something to boast about? You think you got something to trust in?
Come on, brother. Go ahead.
You think you got something to lean upon?
Come on.
You think you got something to hope in here? In your flesh, let me tell you something. Notice what he says here. Woo! He says, if any man thinketh he, whereas he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I tell you, in the Bible, Benjamin's an important people. You know where the king, where the kings come from? Where's Saul come from? Benjamin. He has something to boast about there. Woo! We had the first king among us, buddy. God chose Benjamin, the tribe. I mean, that's something to boast about. They didn't come from another tribe. They come from Benjamin. He's just letting them know. You think you can boast? You think you can boast? Well, I'll just let you know something. I can boast any more than any of you. He says there that concerning that, I come from the tribe of Benjamin. Man, unbelievable. Hebrews, of the Hebrews,
as touching the law, a Pharisee. In other words, he was of the most strictest law in the land of the day.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah.
He wasn't no fly-by-night, secular individual. He wasn't someone who took everyone's opinion and believed in it. If someone said this about it, yeah, you're right, you know. No, sir. Of the law, he was a Pharisee. He knew the law of God. He read the law of God. We need to read God's law. We need to read God's word. Amen. He was a man that dedicated himself to that. Concerning zeal, there was no one that topped this man persecuting the church. Remember, it was Saul of Tarsus before Paul. He was the one that went out and would capture men and women and take them to prison because they believed in this Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, yeah.
Whew. He had so much zeal, he went to the priest, he got letters. Just give me the authorization, I'll go and snatch them up. Man. I sometimes say, where's the zeal of Christians today? We're so timid and backward, we won't even witness to somebody.
Come on, brother, go ahead.
Woo! We get all nervous and, oh, you know, I don't know what they'll say. They probably won't. I'll stumble at my words and, well, you know, we'll make 100 excuses. But this man says, give me a letter. I'll go and I'll get them and I'll bring them to bondage. I'll have them whipped and beaten. How dare they come against Jehovah? Man, he was hard now. Let me tell you, this man was hard and he was zealous that no one could be touched in his zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Who can say that? In other words, he kept the law.
That's right. Amen.
Who can say that in here that you've kept all the Ten Commandments? Woo! Come on.
Come on now, go ahead.
That you kept all the laws of God. This man says, I'm blameless.
Yeah.
You can't bring charge against me. My. Unbelievable. This, he gives an account to them. He says, but notice, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. You think I got something to boast about in these things? Well, in the flesh, I guess you're right. I could boast about them in the flesh because I outstrip every one of you. But when it comes to the spiritual things of God, I count them as rubbish that I may win Christ. He's the most important thing to me. We must, in verse 8, he says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Thirdly, we must pursue Christ. Oh, glory. Not only do we have a purpose. Amen. Come on, church. Not only do we have the pattern, but we must be those who pursue Christ. You just can't get saved and that's it. You just can't say, well, praise the Lord, I'm God's now and that's it. You've got to pursue Christ. You've got to follow after Him. It amazes me how so many Christians have a hard time doing that. They want to pursue everything else in life. They want to pursue their longings, their desires, their wants, their hungers. They pursue after everything they want except what's most important. Christ. And then when they fall into diverse trials and temptations, they wonder, what's happened to me? How come this is coming upon me? Why can't I overcome? Think about it. You're not following God. You're following after your own flesh, your own desires, and you're having trouble. We must pursue Christ. He says, I'm for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, to whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul understood. He's lost everything. He's lost everything. He's lost his reputation. Come on now. Among the Pharisees and all those whom he had. Remember, this is a man who was trained under Gamaliel, the teacher of the day. He was the one people are looking to probably be come up one day and be the high priest. I don't know. He had it going on, in other words. He had the credentials. And they're looking to him one day to be up there somewhere high. But he lost it all. When he took Christ, he lost everything. People would look at him and say, why have you done that? Hasn't people looked at you sometimes and when they know you're a Christian, say, why do you follow him? Why have you given up everything? Why do you go after this God? What has he done for you? Why do you, what is your problem? You know, have you lost your mind to follow this Christ, this God? You're giving up a career. You're giving up a home. You're giving up a job. You're giving up everything to follow him. And we say, amen, brother. Praise God. For he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And I gladly give it to Jesus Christ that I may win him. Hallelujah. We must pursue Christ. Gain his knowledge. Amen. And he says in verse 9, be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not only must we pursue Christ, but we must have a purity of life.
Right.
Mm. Come on now. Sin and righteousness don't dwell together. Righteous living is a pure living. We must purify our lives. Hallelujah. We must live righteously before our brothers, before God. Amen.
Yeah.
Having not your own righteousness. Don't think we are something.
Right, go ahead.
Don't think that you've arrived.
Amen. Come on.
Don't think that you stand smarter and better than anybody else. Come on now. Many men have gotten in trouble because they think their own righteousness supersedes that of God's. They have fallen.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to have our own righteousness. We need to lay any righteousness we think we have under the blood. For the Bible says, there are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all have sinned. What righteousness can you bring to God? Whoa, think about that. What do I have to bring to him? Oh, but I've done good deeds. Oh, can your good deeds cover your sin? But I've given to the poor. Can your giving to the poor cover your sin? No. But I've done this and I've done that. I go to church all the time. I pay my tithes. Can your paying of tithes cover your sins? You're doing things in your own righteousness when you think that way.
Right.
We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not one. All we are is filthy rags. I work driving a truck. And I go to my mechanic every day because I got to get some rags. I notice in his shop, he's got some filthy rags. But I want a clean one. I don't like going up and getting a dirty rag because it's got junk all on. Where he works, you know, he's got filthy rags. And I go in there and I say, I need a rag. He says, there's a bunch over there. I said, no, I want a clean one. Well, that bunch is over here. And you can just see the distinguish from the clean ones and the dirty ones. The clean ones even smell good. The dirty ones stink. They do. They do, church. I want our lives to be righteous in God. Not in any self-righteousness that we have. Because if we have and our righteousness comes ahead of God, then they're nothing but a dirty rag. You're offering your dirty rag out of the shop to God. Is that plain enough? We need a clean rag. Woo! We need Jesus Christ to cover us. Hallelujah.
Right.
We need that precious blood to flow in our lives. Hallelujah. It's not our righteousness, but His righteousness that we need.
That's right.
His purity that we need. He also said in verse 10 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The fellowship of His sufferings. Be made conformable unto His death, that by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not only do we need a pursuit of Christ in verse 8, a purity of Christ in verse 9, but we need to have a passion.
Yeah.
Why are we struggling in this walk with Christ? Because we have no passion for Christ. To some, He's just another God among gods. To some, He's just a friend. But He's more than all of that.
Yes, thank God.
He is sovereign.
Yes.
He is God.
Yes, yes.
He is the omnipotent one. He is the first and the last.
Right.
He's the beginning and the end.
Right.
There is none like our God.
Right.
And this God we must have a passion for. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah.
Paul says that I may know Him. Man, how can he say that? He already knows Him.
Right.
He's writing to the Philippians. He knows Him.
Right.
But isn't it amazing how this man will say, oh, that I may still know Him in the power of His resurrection.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God.
Yeah.
You see, there is power in that resurrected life of God.
Sure.
The power that changes men's hearts.
Amen.
The power that delivers. Amen. The power that sets free men. Hallelujah. The power that comes through Him is the power of God, not Paul's power, but Christ's power. Hallelujah. His is what Paul wants. The one who rose from the dead. Hallelujah. He wants that resurrection power. Praise God. To know Him. To have a passion to know Him. Oh, and that glorious resurrection. Church, I want us to have such a passion to know God and His power. I don't know about you, but I want to experience. I want to be among God's working and His power in the church. I want to see healings. I want to see men's chains broken that they can be saved. I want to see them cry out to God for salvation. Just as the jailer who had Paul and Silas jailed up, he comes in after the earthquake. Sir, what must I do to be saved? I want to see that. I want to see that in the church. I'd like to be up here in this pulpit while I'm preaching. Someone just come up and say, I need salvation.
Amen.
That's the power of God under righteousness. You see, it's not me. It's not any person. It's God. It is the Spirit that quickeneth and giveth life. We need that power. We need that passion that God can give us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul says, if by any means, verse 11, that I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Listen to that. If that I may apprehend for that which I am apprehended of Christ. Wow. Just to put it simply, he wants to embrace Christ. He wants Christ to apprehend him. He wants Christ to just put Him in His arms.
Right. Go ahead.
Glory. Yeah. He has such a passion for God. He wants God to hold Him.
Right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I can see why John laid down beside Christ. That they would eat their suppers together. You know how they stretched out and they leaned upon one another. And they would dip in their bowl and eat and John, the beloved, he would be the closest to Christ. He was the youngest. But he wanted to be close. It was like he had such a passion. I want to know Him more. You know, those that we really want to know more, we get close to. Come on, don't we? Those that we really want to know, we draw ourselves closer to them. We don't separate from them to know them. We get close to them.
We need to follow that example of John. Oh, he wanted to be there. It was John who went in when Christ was taken, and he was one of those, and Peter stayed outside. It was John who went in. When he was being whipped and beaten, it's John, the beloved, who will be the one who will be on the island of Patmos. It'll be that John, the beloved, who will be given the instructions and the word in Revelation. It's John who had the passion and the love for God. Where's your passion today? What do you love about God? You see, because if you pursue Christ and the knowledge of Christ in verse 8, and the purity for that righteousness that is His righteousness, not your own, and you have a passion to know Him and that power of His resurrection, then He says, notice, there is a high calling here. Yeah. Verse 12, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Glory to God. Forgetting those things which are behind.
Right.
And reaching forth to those things which are before.
Right.
How simple Paul makes that.
Amen.
But how hard it is for Christians to apply it. We don't want to forget about the past.
Come on.
We have this problem of going on. Paul says, I forget about those things behind me.
Right.
What is he saying? I'm forgetting about those things.
Yes.
I'm not going to think about them. I'm not going to ponder about them. I'm not going to let them stress me out day in and day out. I am not going to let them rule my life.
That's right. Amen.
And have control over my spirit.
Yeah.
I am moving on. I am pressing on. I am going on with God. And Christians must do the same. Yes, sometimes we fall. Yes, sometimes we fail God. Yes, sometimes we get in a rut. So go on. Pick yourself up. Let God move you. Go on with God and quit worrying about the past.
Huh.
It's already done. If you've asked for forgiveness, it's washed.
Yes.
Come on, amen.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Amen, you're under the blood.
Right.
So walk as a Christian, hallelujah.
Yes,
I like that, man, I tell you. This one thing I do. Turn to Psalms 27. Oh, I think I read it this morning. How many are with me still?
Yes.
All right. If you're getting tired, stand up. Don't bother me. Walk around. Psalms 27. Now, this is a song of David. When he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? He says in verse 4, look, one thing I have desired of the Lord. This is David now. He had everything. Come on.
Yeah.
But he desires one thing. One thing. And that will I seek after. Where's his pursuit? He's seeking now. Come on. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wow. To behold the beauty of the Lord. To inquire in His temple. Hallelujah. In other words, David didn't want anything but to be in God's presence. I want to be where God is. I want to dwell where God is. Oh, just to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord would be plenty for me. Praise God. That's the way David is. Just that I can get where God is. And we have such a struggle at times even to get to church on a Sunday.
Come on, brother. Go ahead.
Now I'm meddling. I know. Come on. Y'all got to love me now. Love one another. I'm loving you. But we shouldn't have to struggle to get to church.
That's right. Amen.
We shouldn't have to struggle to say, oh, I got to go to Sunday. Come on.
Right. Come on.
One thing I do,
I desire and I seek after to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. I sometimes wish that we would get a desire to dwell in God's house, to be among God's people, to be among God's presence in His house, inquiring in His temple, looking unto the Lord, rejoicing in Him, praising His name. That's what it is, church. We don't come just to sit. You don't come just to hear me. I don't have words to say, really. I'm just me. Old Mike Cottle, you know. But listen, my desire is to dwell in His house.
Yes.
My desire is to see the good things of God all around us. My desire is to see His glory fall upon us. My desire is to be filled with His presence. My desire is to forget about those things that are behind and to press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. I want to apprehend Him. I want to hold Him. I want to be in His presence. Glory to God. To behold His beauty. Amen, church. And to inquire in His temple. He said in verse 8, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hallelujah. How many of you have told the Lord today, today, Lord, I'm going to church to seek your face. Was that part of your prayer this morning? Lord, I'm coming to seek your face. I'm trying not to meddle, but I got to step in this. But we find it hard to come and spend a half hour in the presence of God to pray. His face be shown. We find it hard to come to bow ourselves in His holy presence and to seek His face and to love Him with all of our heart and to pray for the church that souls would be saved. I know some things might not set well with you. But if we are indeed going to forget those things that are behind us, then we need to start seeking God as we ought to.
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 19. I love you, Brother Doug. Amen, brother. In chapter 19, verses 19 through 21, we have Elijah and Elisha together. If you remember, Elijah has just taken care of Jezebel and fleeing from her and doing all that stuff. I'm not going to go into that right now. God took him to the mountain and He showed the wind, He showed the earthquake, and a still small voice. That's to tell us that God is in the small voice. God is with us. And then He tells him to go. And I want you to go and I want you to anoint Elisha to take your place. And He says in verse 19, so He departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he with the 12th and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And notice what it says. And he left his oxen. He ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I to do to thee?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, go back.
Yeah.
I've come and anointed you for service.
Right.
I've come and laid my mantle upon you.
Come on, brother, go ahead.
If you don't deem it important, go back. Come on.
Yeah.
What have I to do with thee?
That's what he said.
You don't want the commission? Go. Go back. Now I want you to see what this man does. I want you to pay attention. Go to the Word.
Verse 20. And he left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said, "And then go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of with the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. What has that got to do with anything, brother? I'll tell you what that's got to do with it. Forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward those things which are before us. Pressing toward God. Too many Christians keep the bridges there. What they need to do is burn them down. Hallelujah. What they need to do is get rid of the past. Amen. What they need to do is say, "Hey, all this I count as nothing. I'm following God." Hallelujah. I'm not holding on to the past. I'm not holding on to my father's properties. I'm not holding on to... Hey, this was a rich young man, by the way. He had 12 yoke of oxen. Yeah, yeah. Woo! He had a few, man. His father had some money. He didn't stay with him. He offered it to God. He burned the bridges behind him. He burned his life behind him. Not that he forgot about his father. I'm not saying that, or his mother. I'm just saying he understood how important it is to follow God. I'm not looking to the back behind me anymore. He burned a sacrifice to God. By burning the past behind him, he fed the people that was there the offering of a sweet sacrifice. And then he arose and said, "Where are you, Elijah?" "Boom, here I come." And he served Elijah all the days that Elijah lived. And you know the story. He will take the place of Elijah, and the mantle will fall upon him with a double portion of what Elijah had. How important it is for us, church, to seek after God. Press toward the mark in chapter 3 of Philippians of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not only do we have a pattern to follow, "Let this mind be in you which is also in Christ." Oh, but we have a pursuing of Christ and His knowledge. We have a purity of the righteousness which is of God. We have a passion that we can know Him and the power of His resurrection. Why? Because there is a prize to be won. And that is Christ. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I sometimes wonder, do we really press toward that prize? I tell you, if we lose Christ, we've lost everything. We've got to hold on to Him with all of our might. We've got to walk as He'd want us to walk. Live as He'd want us to live. Speak as He'd want us to speak. Love as He has loved. Amen, church. We need to follow Christ. And Paul says, he gives them, in verse 17 of chapter 3, a pattern to follow. "Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change this vile body," amen, "that it may be fashioned in this glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." So we have a pattern to follow. Amen. Paul says, "Hey, look to me." Wow. Men, we should be living such an example of Christian life that we can say, "You want to know my God? You want to know Jesus Christ? Follow me." Yeah, amen, church. Yeah. You know, "Well, I can't do that." Yes, you can. Right. You can live the life.
life and you can live it as Christ wants you to live it. And you can pattern yourself after Christ. You can have the life that God wants you to have and you can be that example to others. That when they look at you, they don't look at you and say, well, I don't know about him, you know. I've seen the way he is at work. Uh-oh. He lives one way in church, but another way on the job. He lives one way in his home, and he lives another way outside of that home. He says he loves his wife, but why does she come into church bruised? Ooh. Come on. Are you? It's quiet now.
Come on.
I hope there's nobody in here hitting their wives, man. Or wives hitting their husbands. Come on now. Yeah, vice versa, however you want to put it. Come on. Husbands, love your wives. Love your wives as Christ so loved the church.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. And wives, honor your husbands. Respect them, right? Give them all due honor that's due them. That is the way Christ intends it to be. We must have the example. We must have the pattern that people can look to in this world. My, we have, all of us have different vocations and jobs we are on. When people look at us, what do they see? Who do they see? Man, you know, I can't see myself unless I look in the mirror. I see a reflection, but I can't see myself. You see me, but I can't see me. What do you see when you see me? Is it Christ? The hope of glory? Does He shine in me? Do you see joy in my life? Do you see love in my heart? Do you see these things flowing from me? Or do you see something different? Do you see anger? Do you see selfishness? What do they see in you? You're an open book to people.
Right, amen.
You, people see you, and they know if you're false or if you're real. Paul says, be an example of me. Follow me, and you'll see Christ. So I challenge you this morning. Be an example to everyone. When those of your peers see you, you young teenagers, what do they see? Do they see a man that's full of the Holy Ghost? Do they see a man that's full of the Word of God and always loves them and yet corrects them when they're wrong in love, but always is pursuing them and wanting to change them and wanting to come to Christ? Do they see the love of Christ in you? Or do they see a phony who says he's a Christian, but he does the things we do? You can't be both. You can't do what everybody else does. You have to do what God does. I know prayer pressure is tough. I know the devil is tough, folks. He'll try to pull you in. He'll try to lure you in. He'll try to seduce you in. If he can get hold, if he can just get a peg, if he can just get a foothold, he'll make it go further than you ever thought. So who are you going to pattern after? Christ. Who are you going to pattern after? I'll give you another one. Godly men who have walked with God.
Yeah.
Who love God.
Yes.
Who serve Him with all their heart. You know that God loves, that God is in them. You can pattern your life after them. Amen. If you know men among you that serve the Lord, love the Lord, and are walking with God, pattern your life after them.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, we got a good pastor.
Yeah.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's not... he don't toot his own horn, but it doesn't say we can't toot a little bit. I love him. I love him, church. But I tell you, I'm trying to pattern my life after him.
Come on.
I am. Come on. He's a great example.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Of serving God, following God, loving God. Servant, 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 servant. Woo!
I mean, when you look at Brother Woods, pattern your life after him. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong. That's what Paul's talking about. Look out among you. Pattern your life after these men. Oh, I'm falling. I tell you what, I love Brother Doug. As sick as he is right now. In the hospital. My, what is it? 68 days now, brother? 70? I don't know. It's close. I know. It's too much. You need to get out of there. It's almost 70 days in a hospital. Yet I look at that brother who's sick and what he's gone through, and I can pattern my life after him because I see a man full of faith. A man full of integrity. A man that is full of righteousness. A man that does not stop but wants to know God more and more, even in his sickness. I can pattern my life after him. Yes, sir. God is good to us. Stand with me. I'm thankful for the elders we got in our church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul has a purpose. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Paul has a pattern to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul has a pursuance of Christ and his knowledge in chapter 3. He wants to live in purity and not his righteousness, but God's. He wants to have a passion to know him and his power. He wants to win that prize and be seized by God and just hold on to God. He patterns his life after Christ and says that you can pattern your life after me. Wow. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is a power that is given to those who do these things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul understood his power did not come from himself. His power did not come from his righteousness. His power did not come from his influence. His power comes from God. So where does your power come from today? Wow. Is God able to strengthen you this morning? I believe He can. I believe He will. He will also make a provision for you as He closes that chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What need do you have this morning, church? What need do you have that Christ cannot supply? I want you to bow your heads with me, and I want you to ask God and be honest with God. If any of these areas have touched your life this morning, then I know that my God has made provision for it, that He'll supply your need. I wonder if you're willing to step out, you're willing to come down to the altar, you're willing to pray for whatever the need God has touched your life in this morning. You need to pray. This isn't a time to stay away from God. It's a time to run to God, that your needs will be supplied. For He holds all the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Is there any this morning that you need prayer? You need God to touch your life in a special way. You need salvation. You need deliverance from bondages. You need sanctification. You need the Holy Ghost. On and on I could go with the things that we need. You know what you have need of today. My God is able to supply it all.
Jesus.
My God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. I'd like us to just wait upon the Holy Spirit. I'd like each one to search his heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, have your way in church. Saints, I want you to pray. I want you to pray. For I feel the power and principalities of powers at work. I want you to pray that God pull them down. Hallelujah, Lord. You know our need this morning, God. You know what we have lacked. You know what we have need of before we even ask. But I pray, Lord, this morning that Your Spirit would go forth and touch the needs of Your congregation this morning, my brothers and my sisters, God. Whatever that need is, apply Your grace and Your mercy to it. Touch the lives and the hearts of Your people today, God. Hallelujah. 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 Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.